Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
You can turn with me to Psalms chapter 118. We're going to read several passages throughout the scripture. We're just going to camp out in chapter 118. And I believe that you're going to be encouraged today. This is what the psalmist writes. He says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." I want to take the next few minutes to talk to you on this thought. This must be the place. Will you bow your heads and pray with me at every campus? Lord, we ask you today to speak to us. God, we came here to encounter you. Lord, I pray for people that walked in with heavy hearts, overwhelmed by life, feeling maybe apathetic, feeling like they don't have the answers. God, I just pray that you would speak to them by the power of your Spirit. Let our perspective be shifted. Let us walk out of here stronger than we walked in, all because of your love. We ask this in faith. We ask this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Come on, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Here we are today on a Sunday, and we're really here to encounter the love of Jesus and to celebrate as a community what he's done. His love is the thing that brings us together. We know that. This is not just routine. It's definitely not religion. This is about a personal relationship that you and I are seeking to walk into with more new strength every single day. What does it look like to be a Christ follower in 2020? What are the daily habits of a Christ follower look like if you were to examine their, not just their Sunday, but their day to day? See, I really believe that to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, it's not just about one moment, one glorious moment of surrender, but it's really about daily choosing to surrender our life to Jesus, daily choosing to keep our heart open, and daily choosing to say, "God, I'm gonna celebrate this day." There's a lot of habits that you and I can pick up through the Word of God to actually walk out this life here on earth following Jesus. And these are daily disciplines that bring strength and integrity to our walk with God. And I really want to take the next few minutes to talk to you about the discipline of celebration. That may not be what you expected to discuss today as you drove into this parking lot, as you headed into the North Campus, but I believe that the scripture, especially Psalm 118, is going to speak and encourage you to value this word and this discipline like never before. See, the definition of celebration is to acknowledge a significant, a happy day, an event with a social gathering or enjoyable activity. It means to honor or praise publicly. Celebration is not intended to be reserved for just the happy moments. Celebration in your life is not intended to be saved for the holiday or the anniversary or for that big promotion at work. Celebration is the way that God intended for you to actually build your life. And we can study a lot of disciplines today, and they're all wonderful. We could study prayer, fasting, Sabbath, and as we study them, they would bring life and strength to you. But I think celebration is a discipline that you and I often, we forget about the daily strength that it can bring into every season of our life. You see, what you choose to celebrate is what you will emulate. I see this even with a 2.5-year-old in my house. The things that I praise my son for, the things that I tell him he did a good job, are the things that he actually chooses to pay attention to, because my celebration is communicating to him what we value in our house and what I want to see more of. We make decisions every day of what we choose to celebrate. This is literally what cultures are made up of, definitions of choices to celebrate. In our culture, we make a really big deal about the wedding, right? We love wedding planning season, and there's a lot of effort and a lot of intention going into it. But friends, we know that starting your marriage isn't more important than celebrating 10 years of walking together. It's just that we've actually decided to celebrate the beginning. How many of you believe that we need to celebrate faithfulness more? We need to celebrate integrity more. We need to celebrate sticking in the tough seasons more. It's a choice. It's a decision to celebrate. To say, this must be the place. I don't have to have someone else's approval. I don't have to get their sign off for me to wake up in the morning just like the psalmist and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I choose to rejoice. So come on, Joplin, are you getting it today? I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. And we read that scripture and we go, man, he must have been having a really good day. That must have been a good cup of coffee he was drinking. He must have gotten that news that he got that job promotion, or that his family was growing, or maybe he fell in love that day. This is the day the Lord has made. Glory to God, I rejoice. But friend, that's not where the psalmist was in his life. He was in one of the most difficult seasons of his life. And that's what makes this truth so much more powerful. So even as his back is up against the wall, even as the cards are stacked against him, even as war rages within his heart and his emotions, he chooses to declare, this is the day the Lord has made. I will. Nobody else can make you celebrate. Nobody else can make you choose to say this must be the place to praise God. But the psalmist says, I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. You see, he starts and ends chapter 118 by saying this, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Amen. Can I tell you today that you need a new perspective on the discipline of celebration? Because celebration is not something that we just wait till we feel it to build. Celebration is not something that we wait until we have the amount of money to spend to throw the great party. Celebration is actually much more difficult than just doing it when you feel it. If you want to determine that in your life you're going to walk with a discipline of celebration, you're going to need to lean into the scriptures and gather strength from those that have gone before you. You're gonna need to look around this auditorium and the campus that you sit in and look at examples of faithful men and women who don't have perfect lives, but have encountered the perfect love of a Savior. And it's given them the strength to celebrate. Come on, if you're thankful today for those around you that build your strength. See, celebration is needed in crisis. Celebration is needed in the crossroads of your life. Celebration is desperately needed when you are confused. Why? Because celebration builds your life. Celebration is not a responsive decision. Celebration is you choosing that I'm gonna step into this. I'm gonna choose today to declare, just like the psalmist, that I choose to celebrate. It's the result of willingly choosing your way of thinking, speaking, investing, and living. Amen. This must be the place. If celebration builds, then what does it build? Well, celebration, first of all, it builds your values. Celebration actually builds day to day what you value. We read in verse 25 in Psalms 118. The psalmist says this, O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God. He has made this light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in this festal procession. A festal procession was a celebration up to the horns of the altar. What the psalmist is doing is declaring prophetically the Messiah coming to earth. He's saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Where do we see that again? Well, we see it again when people picked up palm branches and waved as Jesus Christ made his triumphant entry. And they declared those very words, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Why is the psalmist looking forward to that day? Perhaps it's because he was gathering hope for the now in the promise of the future. He knew that his strength wasn't in looking at his circumstance, but was looking at the promise of Almighty God, that there would be a hope, and that there would be a Savior, and that there would be a promise that would be fulfilled. And even in his valley, he lifts his eyes to heaven and says, where I am today is not where I always will be. Come on, some of you need to hear that today. God's not done with your story. He sent Jesus so that in every season you would have a hope. You would know that you have a future. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I haven't seen it, but I can still celebrate it. I know in my heart that God is involved in my circumstance. I know as I walk through this divorce that God has not abandoned me, that God has not turned his back on me. I know as I walk through this season with my child who is struggling, that even when I don't have the words to say, the whisper of the Holy Spirit is constant and faithful and true, and I choose to believe that God, you are able. You're able. You're able to move in my emotions. You're able to move in my workplace. You're able to move in my marriage. God, I choose to celebrate you. And as I choose to celebrate you, I understand that I am building my values. Who and what are you celebrating? Because what you celebrate and who you celebrate reveals a lot about who you are. Because what you're choosing to celebrate is what you're choosing to build. What you're choosing to celebrate is what you actually value. You see, celebration is beautiful because celebration is a central discipline. We know that there's all these different disciplines that we're constantly studying. We know that prayer, man, if we don't have a prayer life, we've missed out on the strength of the day to day. We've missed out on the love that God wants to pour out. We've missed out on the faith. But celebration is central to every other discipline. Whether it be the Sabbath, whether it be submission to the presence of God, whether it be prayer, whether it be community, whatever those disciplines are, celebration is special because celebration is interwoven in every other discipline. It's central because it is the way that you get the strength to walk out every other discipline. And I think it's really interesting that as you open up your Bible and you turn to Psalms chapter 118, that if you were to pick the specific scripture, the chapter that is literally in the middle of the Bible, do you know what chapter it would be? It'd be Psalms 118. It is in the center of the Word of God. And I think that speaks to you and I today because so often we get really excited about the beginning, don't we? We start to celebrate the new things. We get really excited about the start, that God breathed the stars into existence and that this earth was formed by his hands. And friends, we get really excited about the end, don't we? That Jesus is gonna come back for a spotless, beautiful bride, that we're gonna spend eternity with him. But where are you and I in 2020? We're right in the middle. So when we open up the word and we look to Psalms 118, I think that God is trying to say to you and to me that he's not just in the beginning and he's not just in the end, but he's right in the middle of your mess, in the middle of your pain, in the middle of your questions, in the middle of your sorrow. He is here. And he wants you to awaken to the fact that in any season that you walk through, you can say, this must be the place. This must be the place because you placed me here, God. This must be the place that I can worship you, that I can press into your presence, that I can find the strength for tomorrow. I don't have to wait because I have something now. Right here in my brokenness, in my fear, in my intimidation. Oh no, I don't have to wait. I can celebrate. And it will build my life. Celebration, it builds your values. I know at our church, we have these things called family dinners, and they're really fun because every Sunday at certain points in our church, we've done up to 6 services in one day, and you're exhausted from preaching that many times, and team has been working 15, 17-hour days, but we still have a family dinner at the end of the night. We gather in our homes with leaders and with people that have just joined the family and with staff, and we take the time to eat together. And you say, Dawn Sheree, that sounds exhausting. After you've been, what people loaded in to that middle school at 5 in the morning and now it's 10 p.m. and they're still hanging, they're still celebrating, but we found that celebration is key to us having the longevity to go the distance in this journey. And we know that the night is not over until we've taken the time to party with a purpose. We party with a purpose. We take the time to laugh and eat and tell stories, and we understand that this night is not a party that is purposeless, but it is infused with purpose because our community and our celebration rolls up in glory and honor to God. And at some point in the night, every single time we gather, we stop and we silence the room and we turn the music off and we take 15 minutes to say, this night is to thank Jesus for what he did today. And we go around the room and people tell stories. They tell stories just like Pastor Debbie shared about two women just deciding to surrender their life to Jesus in the middle of their living room at DFL conference. Or you'll hear somebody went to VU Kids and they gave their life to Jesus for the first time in the middle of the worship service. Or you'll hear the story that I've been inviting that person to church for 5 years. And after 5 years, you'll never believe it. They showed up today and they loved it. You know what it does? It just fills us up with the strength to show up another Sunday. It gives us just what we need. And it happens when we say, this must be the place. You don't have to have a budget to celebrate. You don't have to have fancy decor to celebrate. You simply need to shift your perspective from what is missing to what God has provided. Oh, come on. Can I get a witness this morning? We serve a faithful God. There's always something we can celebrate. If you celebrate people, you're conveying that you value people. If you celebrate profit, well, friend, you're conveying that that's what you celebrate. What are you celebrating? Because it so clearly messages what you value in life. Celebration builds your values, but secondly, celebration builds your relationships. Throughout the Bible, we see these celebrations that Jesus literally wove celebration into every part of the Jewish people's lives. He wanted them to understand they were strengthened when they would celebrate with a purpose. Every one of those celebrations were so that they could remember the faithfulness of God. Right. You will not just remember that I parted the Red Sea for one generation, but I'll make sure that every generation celebrates what I've done. Every generation. And the psalmist says, his love endures forever. Come on, will you say that with me? His love endures forever. Say it again. His love endures. Come on, at North Campus, his love endures forever. He's saying that because he's speaking to his soul. He's in the toughest season of his life. His back is up against the wall, but yet what is he focusing on? His love endures forever. Why is that what he speaks? Because he's speaking to his soul that his pain won't endure forever. The tears that fall down his face won't endure forever. That doctor report that you just received, well, let me just tell you right now, it will not endure forever. Your broken heart, your anxiety, your fear, your insecurities, they will not endure forever. But instead, you can say, this must be the place that his love endures forever. This must be the place, right here, right now. This must be the place. Verse 13, he says, I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength. He's my song. He is my salvation. You may have felt like you were about to be pushed back and you were about to fall, but God will do the same thing for you. He will help you right here, right now. Psalms 145 says, you open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Will you just open up your palms right where you are? At every campus. What's not to celebrate about a God that approaches you like this? The God of all creation, he opens his hand to you. He satisfies the desire of every living thing. If this is God's posture to you, what is your posture towards him? Because so often in years like 2020, we're like this. Life feels so out of control, we're grasping to keep things the way that they used to be. We're holding on to our bitterness because we feel justified. We're holding on to our plan even as it crumbles all around us, and our hands are clenched and we are unwilling to simply say, God, you can have it all. Here I am, here I am. You can have it all, you can have it all. When was the last time you meant that? God, I'm gonna come to you first. Before I talk to my girlfriend, before I process it with everybody else, before I reiterate all the things that have happened that are wrong, here I am. Because celebration is a transformative experience. It's not just hooray, rah, rah, I'm getting excited, let's put some balloons up. Celebration transforms you from the inside out. That's why it's a discipline. Because it takes practice. But as you choose to come to God with open hands, you are transformed because there is a beautiful exchange that takes place. As you open up your hands, he'll give you beauty for ashes. He'll give you the oil of joy for your mourning. He'll give you peace for your pain. He'll give you faith for your fear. Oh, I know there are some people in this room and at every campus that can testify that as you open up your hands, that God gives us everything that he holds. We don't have to wait till the end of the story. I discovered that walking 8 years of infertility. I discovered that God, I can redeem the most ordinary moments. 8 years of waiting for a baby will have you celebrating crazy stuff. And I can tell you for the last 2.5 years, completely honest, that there have been rarely a time that I have not changed my son's diaper, that I have not said with all my heart, God, I thank you, as I'm changing a dirty diaper. God, I thank you that my son's organs work properly. God, I thank you that I have a healthy boy right in front of me. God, I thank you that after waiting all this time, that you did what I could never do. Come on, when you choose to celebrate, you can redeem your routine. Doesn't matter if you have a dirty diaper in your hand, if you're driving to work, if you're making dinner, if you're going over your budget, you can say, this must be the place. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You can redeem your routine and it will build your very life. Right. Celebration builds your values. Celebration builds your relationships. But lastly today, celebration builds your joy. Psalm 118, again, here's the psalmist pouring it all out for us. He says in verse 15, shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. He says it again to remind himself, the Lord's right hand has done mighty things. He says, I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. It must have been pretty serious for him to be making a statement, I will not die, but I will live. And I think we would be playing games today if we didn't know that there are people in this room and at every campus that this week has felt like things were over. But just like the psalmist, You can say, I will not die. I will live. And you can lift your hands to the mighty hand of your God. And he will be your strength. And he will be your song. And he will actually be your salvation. We often say the joy of the Lord is my strength. Sometimes we can think that joy is shallow, or joy is flowery, or joy is just something that, you know, oh, that's pretty, that's nice, but nah, but joy is a choice. And if the joy of the Lord is our strength, then we need to understand that us choosing not to pick up joy is choosing to walk in weakness. Choosing to walk without the fulfilled grace of God for our lives. No, friends, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and it's a cycle. You say, Dawn Shree, I wanna be strong, but I don't know how to get joy. Well, let me tell you, you just gotta get grateful. You gotta find something to celebrate. You gotta start to survey your life to find something that you can give glory to God for. Maybe it's something he did in the past that you're believing he can do it again. Maybe it's something that you have just not paid attention to. But as you decide to get thankful, you will get joy, and your joy will be your strength. And you know what? Joy multiplies. It spreads. And it spreads through community. This summer I was on the lake, and I was with my boys and with Rich, and we were leaving a restaurant, and there was another boat coming in as we were leaving, and there were two couples on the boat, older couples, and they started to yell at us. We did not know them at all. I mean, it was 1 minute of exchange, but they started to yell to us. They said, your kids are gonna grow up and they're gonna leave you. Okay. But then they started to shout, and it started to make sense from their vantage point. They said, this is the best day of your life. And as we left, and as they were coming in, they just shouted it over and over again. They might have been a little drunk, I don't know, but it spoke to me. This is the best day of your life. You know what? I didn't wake up that morning and think this was the best day of my life. As I left, holding my boys, I started to think, this is the best day of my life. I started to say to myself, this is the best day of my life. This is the best day of my life. I'm not promised tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but I know that I'm here. And friends, that's the power of Sundays. That's why we can't forsake this place, because you can walk in these doors with a heavy cloud over your head, and you can look around this room, and faith multiplies and joy multiplies, and you know that you are not alone. Oh, come on. Is anybody thankful for the house of God, for community? You're not isolated. You're not by yourself. Together we say, this must be the place. This is it. This moment right here. I'll close with this. In quarantine, first few weeks, everything shut down. And in Miami, it has been a difficult 9 months, just as it has been here. Everybody's out on the street in our neighborhood. We didn't know what else to do. We started taking long walks with our kids. We started to meet so many neighbors who had never had time to be out on the street, but now we're getting to know each other. And the first couple weeks, one day I was walking down the street and I saw a neighbor that I'd never met. She was picking berries off of the front hedges of her property. We stopped to talk for the first time. She explained to me, she said, these are star cherries. They're high in antioxidants. They're really healthy for you. I put them in smoothies. They're awesome. And she gave me one, and I started to walk away with Rich as we continued walking. I ate it. It was so good. I just said in my heart, man, God, that would be so cool if I ever had fruit in my yard. Like, I would love that, Lord. Maybe in our next house, I would love to have some fruit trees where we could actually like harvest them. That would be so cool. Came back home, put our kids to sleep. Next day, we're in our backyard. My boys ran out to the back part of our yard, Wyatt did, and he was yelling for me, Mom, come here, come here. So I ran out to play with him along the back fence. And as I walked towards it, I stood on some gravel in the back part of our backyard, and I looked down, and there were these crushed red berries all at my feet. And I said, no way, this cannot be it. And I started to search through the hedges in my backyard. And I started to find the very same fruit that I had been eating in my neighbor's yard the day before. I ran inside, I got a stepladder, I got a bowl, and I started to bring in my harvest. I thought, here it is. I've lived in this house for years. And all this time, there was a hidden harvest that I had no idea that I had. It was here, I just didn't see it. I didn't recognize it. And friends, 2020 has been a year that no matter what has happened, it's been full of deep sorrow, but I also believe that there is a hidden harvest for your life. I believe it's a year for you to survey the soil of your soul, for you to see what's growing, what you're planting, what you're harvesting. God forbid that the harvest rot at our feet because we are unwilling to say, this must be the place. And I believe today that God wants to open up your eyes. That he's doing more than you see. He's producing more in you than you recognize. But it comes through developing a discipline of celebration. Choosing to build our lives by giving God glory in every season. This is the day the Lord has made. I, you, will rejoice.